You don't know how much we do love him. But I wouldn't have lost this time for anything. It's 6 years, I guess it's been 6 years about that we've been with him. The experience is certainly worth the sadness of having to leave. But with all the technology that we have today, we can stay in touch. We got several avenues, don't we? Not just the telephone, or only the telephone now, where it used to be, or writing a letter. We got Facebook, we got the internet, email. So I know we're going to be hearing from you, and you're going to be hearing from us. Certainly we want to know what's going on here. I don't have a date. We'll be leaving probably the middle somewhere in June. We haven't settled on a particular date. So we've got some weeks and some time together. I'm going to enjoy that, but I just can't get over the sadness. And I think about the Apostle Paul and the Ephesians, and that's what I decided to talk about. And you just think about all of us. Let's just try to encourage one another, to edify one another, and to say all those things that encourage us and cause our faith to increase, because we know the same Lord and Savior. Paul, in the 20th chapter of Acts, he's at Ephesus, and he's leaving. And it's a sad time for him, and it's a sad time for the church, of course. And I have read those words over and over again. And he says quite a lot of things that are great and full of love. And that's what you can see. I study the Old Testament a lot. And I go through those books, and the law, and all those great stories, and I see love in them, but you don't get that feeling of love throughout the Old Testament as you do when you come to the New Testament and read the letters of the saints, reading the letters of the Apostle Paul, of Peter, James. You start reading those and you just feel great love that those men had for the people that they were writing to. Don't get me wrong now, that there's a lot of love in the Old Testament. Especially in Psalms, when you read that, and in Proverbs. But when you get into the prophets, you see and hear a lot of judging of the children of Israel, and it's hard to read that over and over again to know that they got to get with the program. And God's pointing this out to them. And we have that in the New Testament too. Even the church at Ephesus, which Paul writes to, and the love that we see them as given to us in the 20th chapter of Acts. We go to the last book, Revelation. And the Lord Jesus is writing to the churches of that day. And he writes to the church of Ephesus. And this is farther down the road than the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. And yet we find a sad commentary, don't we? It's a sad commentary because Jesus is telling the Ephesians what? What did he say to the Ephesians? Yes. They were doing great. I mean, all kinds of works, that commendable thing. Everything else was commendable. But this one thing, Jesus said, they had left their first love. And that's a sad commentary. And I was thinking about that, our time with you, and I never want to hear of anything like that among you, that you've lost your first love. Because I know the love that you people have. You have five pastors here. Five pastors. This past Friday night at the prison, I have a sadness there too among those men. But I told him that we have five pastors here, and one inmate says, Wow, how big a church is that you go to? You have about 2,000 people? He was thinking of the pastor,
Yeah.
A church having a pastor, and we have five. Sort of a misunderstanding out there among believers. But I was explaining to him what we do and how we think according to what is given to us in the New Testament. And I was telling him how we five elders or pastors meet on Sunday morning, and we have this congregation on our hearts and our minds. And we pray for you. We think about all of you individually and want to know how well you're doing in your lives other than when you're right here with us. We have means of knowing when you're not here. We have attendance taken. And when you're not here for two or three Sundays, I don't know what it is, but we begin to look at that and wonder what's going on. What's happening? Because you're a part of our family. And we want to make sure that in this family that your needs are met and that the love of Christ grows in your heart. This is the kind of love that you're seeing in the 20th chapter of Acts. In the 20th verse, Paul talks about this. He says this, that is a prime initiative of the church. A prime initiative of the pastors, if you will. And Paul says this, how I kept back nothing that was helpful or profitable, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord . That's the prime thing. That we teach and preach Jesus Christ. How long have you been a Christian? report. How long have you been a Christian? Who would raise their hand and say, I know enough about Jesus? For years and years I've studied about Jesus. I know all about Him. Who would raise their hand? We never get to know enough. Why is that? I mean, how many pages are in the Gospel of Jesus? I mean, it's a small book. Just reading it, it's small, isn't it? And even in that, if you just go to the red letter editions of those Gospels where Jesus is particularly speaking, it's such a small group of words to look at and to think about, and yet this is God in its working. You can keep learning about Jesus Christ all of your life. God knows how to write. He knows how to write. So Paul declared everything that he knew to the Ephesians. He never stopped. He wanted to make sure, and we pastors here want to make sure that the whole gospel of Jesus Christ is always preached. The whole Word of God, from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, even, taught to the family. And they're getting fed every ounce, every little bit of the Word of God. And you know, Russ does such a good job. You don't know how blessed you are. It gets covered. And here, Paul is at the point where he's leaving. Down in verse 27. I could go through all this, but time will go by for us anyway. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God, prime mission or pastors of the church. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. He's speaking to the pastors here. He's speaking to the elders of Ephesus. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn every one night and day with tears. That's a sad thing that happened. But, you know, Russ reminds us over and over again, unfortunately, we are in a war. And it's a war much higher and bigger than any of us can manage. Only God with us, only the Holy Spirit with us to manage this world, because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities and powers in heavenly places. Do you believe that? I feel it. I believe it, but I feel it. I feel that. I want to read to you something. This is in the paper yesterday, the day before yesterday. just to emphasize that point. And the story was about a group rallying, an equality group in Hanover. You might have read the story. And they were being advocates for rights of same-sex couples. Now, this isn't my subject to discuss. It isn't that. It's the quote of what this woman said. First of all, she says, Virginia will allow same-sex marriage eventually. Confident lady, but that's going to happen, and you know, I think that's the one thing she said, probably true. And it's happening all over the world. You and I, as believers in Christ, have to decide, are we going to be for this, or are we going to be against it? That's a decision we have to make. She further says, people, here's what really grabbed me. People are more entrenched in old belief systems. It will change here. It's just a matter of time. People of faith are not reading the same gospel I'm reading. And she goes on, that's right. And she goes on to say, the Jesus of the gospel would be here, or standing here today. That is, advocating same-sex couple marriage. What? I don't know about you, but I believe in that old-time religion. How about you?
Amen.
It's old. It is an old religion. It's, as far as the gospel of Jesus Christ, it goes from Genesis on to Revelation. But what Jesus said is 2,000 years old, that we have it written. And I would like to know what gospel she is reading. I nowhere see Jesus advocating any such thing as that. Anyway, an old belief system. Is that where the church is going? I mean, are we all going to look at it and say, well, what we believe is old and it's outdated and there's got to be new stuff, new ways to believe and new ways to look at things? Is that where it's going? I hope not. It did happen way back. It happened after Ephesus there, where Jesus said that they lost their first love. Okay? Yes.
Yesterday, and today.
Yeah.
We're not going to change.
Yeah.
He said that he means, he's not wishy-washy like us. You know, we get wishy-washy. A good day. It's a shame. I'd like to know what books he's reading from, because you don't even have to go to the future. You can plant that right over there. Beginning of the 19th. You can go over a little bit. There are places all this through the scripture that talks about his abomination. I guess these kind of acts. And
well,
we are to finish the world. No two men or no two women can do it.
That's right.
You know. So,
So I just wanted to point out that you need pastors. This world is not easy. It's not going to be easy journey for Christians, as it has never been an easy journey for Christians. History is there. If you was going to point out a time where we've had it good, is right here in our own country, the United States of America, that was founded on Christian principles. And the blessing that we have had, I believe fully, as a result of that. We've had such riches and things that we've been given. And I believe it because of our faith in God in a general way. That we have to be very careful that we're not going to lose. But even if we do lose it, not everyone has to. You know. There needs to be someone here that loves God and loves the Lord. And I hope generation after generation that's true. And it's only you here that can keep that going. I'm talking about pastors, well, it was sometime in history, started about in the second century or so. Churches began to look at different ways to do things, different ways to think about the time that they were living in. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that, because there's a lot of ways that we can work and do things. And James says we have the perfect law of liberty. And what law is that? The law that's in Jesus Christ. It's a law of liberty. So it's not something that ties you up like this and you walked around in chains. It's something that if you really look at it, that makes you free. And this is the word of Jesus. He says, I came to make you free. I came to give you life. We have to see how that gives us life. And it's not the way the world is seeing it. This isn't the way the world is seeing it. Back in that second century, churches began looking at things, and they began looking at not the pastors, but they began looking at one pastor, this leader that's able to do things better than a group of pastors in the congregation of the church. So they begin to put man or men ahead of this area. Not only Ephesus, but maybe the other towns and the other places. One man in charge of all that. And it grew and it grew in its concept until it had gotten completely away from the way the Scriptures intended for the church to be organized. As a consequence of that, down through history, it's been a total mess, and a lot of people blame it on Christianity is not good. It doesn't work. They don't look at the real truth of it and how it would. It's men. It is the people that will not stay in truth to make it work. Just like Paul was saying, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Paul knew what was going to happen. He was trying to encourage them and make them strong. Make them see that they need to stand in the Word of God, right there. Need to stand there and not be moved. And there are those that were not moved. And we thank God for that. All down through the ages. And we come in history and then we find the Reformation, where something was happening and it was obvious, hey, we've gone way out here. Something needs to change. We need to get back to what the Scripture says. That's the one thing Martin Luther was looking at, wasn't he? He was saying, hey, something is off base here. I'm looking in the Scriptures and I don't see the things that we're doing as the things that I taught. So we have the whole Reformation. Well, that's not the subject anyway. Turn over to Ephesians. Turn over to the Ephesians letter. And I want you to imagine your pastors here, five of them. I want you to imagine us praying for you, which we do. We pray for you. But I'm going to use the words of the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to insert into that we as your pastors. And I want you to hear what the prayers, generally what the prayers have been all about. And Jerry's here, and Ray's here, and they can confirm this effort and this caring and this wanting to fulfill what Jesus wants us to do and to make you in some way as we can like this, okay? Turn to the third chapter. The Apostle Paul is writing to them and speaking. And he says in the 10th verse, we won't cover the whole thing, but you need to read these all, always, the whole thing, not just part, but we all always are confined to time. He says, he's talking about a mystery. And of course, he's talking about the mystery of the Jews and the Gentiles being brought together in one faith in Jesus Christ. There's no difference. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The whole world. Not just the Jews, but everyone. And Paul's speaking of that great mystery that was not known before this. Because Paul is the preacher and the minister to the Gentiles particularly. Brought them into this. Showing them the wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. So he says in the 10th verse, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The eternal purpose that God accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is the bringing together of the whole world in Jesus Christ. Jew and Gentile. Now, down to 14th verse. Here's where I make the insertion. For this reason, we the pastors bow our knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He might grant you, that is, you people right here, the family here, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might, through His Spirit and the inner man. Have we essentially prayed that, Gary, for this congregation, brother? Maybe not in those exact words, but we were thinking about you. But he stopped there, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints everywhere what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Have you ever read such a wonderful prayer? That's a prayer of love. And I want you to see what the church should be interested in. You see? Your pastors want you to see what you should be interested in. And take all the other stuff away. Get rid of it. And don't get focused on these little meaningless things, but focus on the things that are real and true, that mean something. And those are the hardest things to focus on, I'll guarantee you. And it's the very reason we start focusing on the small things, tiny things that don't mean anything. Because the other things are hard. You have to work on them. And if you don't work on them, you become like Ephesus later on, doing all kinds of works, busy, 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 busy. But Jesus saying, why are you doing it? You've lost your first love. Isn't that amazing? So we have this great teaching of Jesus. Now, what's the purpose of it? We're about there already, see? But I'm going to close it on this. Look at it. The fourth chapter. And I can't cover all that, but let's go to the 11th verse. 11th verse, quickly. And here's what Jesus has done, because He's the true head of the church. Amen. Jesus is the head of the church.
Right.
Not the pastors, not any man, but Jesus is the head. And if we keep Him there, we will not be off going after strange things, strange ideas, poor doctrines, doctrines that aren't God's will, but our will, because we want to fulfill our needs and not fulfill God's. Making things that are right, that are written here, that are wrong. If we keep Jesus as the head, we won't be there. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and evangelists, and some pastors. There we are. Man. There we are. And some pastors. And teachers. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. There you are. What's the purpose? What's God doing? What's His work? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God. See there, I told you, do you really know, have all the knowledge of the Son of God? No, you don't. We're getting there and we're going toward that end, I hope. With knowledge of the Son of God. To a perfect man, we're going toward that end. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we're moving toward that end. That's what the work of the church is, you see? And in doing so, we pull everyone that comes in contact with us into this thing. If they're going to be pulled at all, they're pulled in by your love, by your care. Not all these other things that you might think draw people. It's by you. But Mars is a body. And Jesus Christ. It's going to affect everybody. That we should no longer be children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the trickery of men. Can you trust men completely? In the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Oh. But speaking the truth, how? In love. Speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Tell me the Bible doesn't speak of everything that involves us. By which every part does its share. Where does that place me? I need to get. And it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. In what? Edifying. What's edify mean?
Build up.
In what? In love. What should our work be all about, brothers and sisters? What's the work that we're all about? Love. You see, doctrine is important. It's vitally important. But without this love, forget it. Forget it and go just like the world. Because that's what they're doing. They're forgetting it. The love that God provided for us. The grace that's in Jesus Christ. That He's provided the world and promised everything that we really want. He's promised in Jesus and the world. I'm not going to listen to this. Because I want to do what I want to do. It's like a teenager. Our grandson, and I suppose our kids never got very old until they were saying that. I don't want to do, think about what you want me to think about, Mom and Dad. I want to do my thing. That's not the way it works. If you want to be blessed by God, and if you want to be blessed by family, you want to have friends that really love you, okay? It works by hearing what is true. I believe what is true is the Lord Jesus Christ. God has provided by His love to showing his love for us. That'll champion our lives. Okay. That's the message this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.